Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS Degen Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are on to week 9. The slate looks a little bit better, I think, than what last week's slate did. At least, you know, you have Josh Allen on this slate up top. You know, obviously no Patrick Mahomes. They play Sunday night, but we do have 6 teams on bye this week as well. So that's going to play a factor in some of the available options this week. There is some heavy chalk already coming in at the running back position. We'll talk about that, maybe some possible leverage off of that. But that being said, you know, let's just go ahead and get right into it, not waste any time. So we go position by position here, as we do every time. So let's start at the quarterback position. And starting things off, you have Josh Allen up top at 8,500. You have Kyler Murray at 7,400, Justin Herbert at 7,200, Tua at 6,700. And the rest of the 6K group is Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Or excuse me, not Aaron Rodgers. And Tom Brady wraps up the 6K group. So I will say this. I think Josh Allen is probably going to be the most owned quarterback on the slate, and that's probably rightfully so. His ceiling is so high that there's not many quarterbacks on this slate that have his type of ceiling on a week-to-week basis, but it is a more expensive stack if you're wanting to stack up Stephon Diggs with him. But it does make sense because Stephon Diggs has 77 targets already this year. The next closest on their team has 35. His target share is so ridiculous, it makes it hard not to really want to play him. So anyways, Maddie, what are you doing this week? Are you going all in on Josh Allen, or are you going to be looking at some other places?
I actually probably will not end up on Josh Allen at all this week, as crazy as that sounds. $8,500 for a QB on this slate just feels like overpaying for me. We'll talk about some running backs and receivers that are priced at the same price that we can get 35-ish points from. Which is what you're looking for at that price tag. And there's QBs that are very, very, very cheap this week that I have heavy interest in, two in particular. So I will not be paying up. I will actually be paying way, way down in the near 5K range.
Okay. I think I have an idea of a couple of who those may be. Walito, appreciate you with the $5 super chat. Christmas hat Kev is back. Yep. We busted it out of the
Didn't you wear that last night?
I did. I busted it out last night. Every time, you know, right after Halloween, we go ahead and put it on because it's now Christmas season. You know, Thanksgiving's the appetizer. Okay, let's be real. So, anyways, I think some of the other options here this week at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is damn interesting at $5,900. I mean, that is super cheap for Aaron Rodgers. Now, don't get me wrong, not a lot of great pass catchers, but I do think he provides pretty great leverage off of Aaron Jones. We know Aaron Jones is going to be heavily owned this week. And I think if you wanted to, I think you could play him with like a Romeo Doubs, Robert Tonyan type stack. It is a very cheap stack, allow you to kind of pay up. And so I think Aaron Rodgers against Detroit is just dreadful. It doesn't really matter against the pass, against the run. It doesn't really matter. They're just terrible this year. And so inside the dome, you know, Aaron Rodgers, but the problem with Aaron Rodgers is he hasn't done really dick all year. He does not have one game all year where he scored over 20 DK points. Yeah. But this could be the spot, you know, where they get right. I would say their offense actually didn't look too bad last week against one of the better, if not the best defenses in the league last week against Buffalo. So Aaron Rodgers, I do think, is a spot you could go to and provides nice leverage off of Aaron Jones, who's going to be heavily owned. And then the other one, I think, is Trevor Lawrence against this Raiders defense that is very bad. We know Travis Etienne is going to be very, very highly owned because he's only $6,200. He has been fantastic. But if you want to get different and get some leverage off Travis Etienne, I think Trevor Lawrence is the other spot you can go with. He's $5,200. You're going against the Raiders. The Raiders defense has another defense has been really bad for most part this season. And so I think Trevor Lawrence at 5,200 is a spot you could go to. And then Justin Fields at 5,300. Miami is very bad against opposing quarterbacks on the season. They have really struggled to stop the pass. They've been really good against the run. And Justin Fields is kind of starting to come into his own here. He has actually put almost 20 straight DK points up, 26 last week, 24 the week before that, and then 19.4 against Washington. And we're seeing him run the ball a ton. He's had 60 or more rushing yards in three straight weeks. He's seeing a lot of carries. They're getting him design runs. They've kind of went into the Lamar Jackson bag of tricks and just kind of scheming him runs. And now they get Chase Claypool into this offense. And it sounds like Chase Claypool is going to play this week. I don't know how much, but he's definitely going to be involved in the offense this week. And that's just another weapon for Justin Fields to utilize against a secondary that has really struggled to stop anybody. So Justin Fields at $5,300, I think, is also another play that I would be looking to make this week.
Preach, 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 preach. Fields and Lawrence, those are my two guys this week. And just when I was looking through the slate, honestly, Lawrence is what first caught my eye, because I was just going through the positions and seeing, you know, what kind of values we may have this week. And you have to scroll down a while before you get to these pass catchers on the Jags. I mean, Christian Kirk, who is a guy that sees a lot of targets, he's only 5,500. And Evan Engram, who's a guy that's seeing a lot of targets, is very, very cheap, 3,300 or 3,200, whatever he is at tight end. And Marvin Jones and Zay Jones, those guys are 4,100 and 4,200. And so it's like, you can, and honestly, I think ETN's the best play on the slate. And I think you just play him, and we've seen chalk smash every week. And so I'm done just fading the best plays on the slate just because they're going to be 40%+ owned. Like, that was me. I faded Pollard last week just because he was projecting for like 40 to 45% ownership. And I was concerned that, you know, Dallas wouldn't necessarily give him 25 carries or and the 5 to 7 targets that everybody was thinking he was going to get. And he ended up just being insanely efficient because he's that good. And so when you get these really, really good players that get, you know, a boost in workload and are in good matchups, you just play them when they don't cost a lot of money. And that's ETN's the same exact play that Pollard was last week. So I think you just play ETN and just move on, especially with there's not many cheaper running backs below him that's worth playing this week. So but I absolutely think you can play Lawrence with ETN and just get the entire Jags offense, because Lawrence is cheap enough and Lawrence has rushing upside, not as much rushing upside as Fields does, but he does have rushing upside, and Lawrence's pass catchers are also very cheap. So, and Vegas agrees. Vegas has the Las Vegas and Jacksonville game as like the second highest total of the week. They're at almost 49 points. So they're right up there with the Green Bay Detroit game, and I think Seattle Arizona's up there, and I think there's one more that I'm missing off the top of my head. But that's absolutely a game to attack, especially with how bad the Raiders looked last week, scoring 0 points against the Saints. Nobody's going to want to play Josh Jacobs, and nobody's going to want to play Davante Adams. So it's that is a great game to just stack up if you are playing Lawrence. You know, play one or both of Jacobs and Adams, because I mean, Jacobs and Adams make up the entire Raiders offense. So it's a 1 point spread, 49 total. You can just absolutely load up that game, and the Jags are absolutely free. So you can very easily fit in the expensive Raiders guys on the other side. And if that game shoots out, then you're sitting pretty, because I would expect, you know, that game to be low owned compared to the others. What has me hesitant on just loading up on that game, though, is the Raiders tend to just be bad on these West to East Coast games where they come travel East Coast and play at these 1 o'clock kickoffs. It's like Derek Carr turns into a pumpkin in those games for whatever reason. But so that has me a little hesitant. And we saw that same thing last week. And I know Davante Adams was dealing with the flu, but he played the whole game. One catch for 3 yards is just not like something you can get. That's not production you should get from a guy you're paying $8,600 for. I would know because I played him. he was my mini stack with Kamara, who we called, by the way, last week for absolute smash. But yeah, you mentioned Justin Fields, and I think Justin Fields is probably where I'm going to end up landing. And I know you brought up the DK points per game over the last two for him. Look at the defenses and the road games he's been on at New England and at Dallas. Like, that's two very, very tough spots to play quarterback in. And like you said, I mean, the offense has essentially changed for him. You know, they've opened the playbook up and quote unquote stolen some Lamar Jackson style plays from the Ravens. And what's funny is what game broke the slate in week two? That was Lamar Jackson versus the Miami Dolphins. Lamar threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and ran for over 100 yards and had a rushing touchdown as well and scored over 40 DK points. So if we're saying this Lamar style QB is now playing a Lamar style game, and a defense this year has already played Lamar and really, really, really struggled with him, and that QB is now $5,200, $5,300, whatever he is. And, you know, he's going to have designed rushes. He's run for, like you said, over 60 yards in the last three games with two of them over 80. He has 100 plus yard rushing upside. And you absolutely compare him with Darnell Mooney, who is for what it's likely because these prices came out before the trade happened, if I had to guess. But Darnell Mooney is actually cheaper than Chase Claypool. Mooney costs $4,700. Claypool's $4,800. So I agree that the Claypool addition is going to make this Bears offense better. And I think it's going to open up things for Mooney as well. So if you play Fields, it's very, very easy to run it back. You just play Tyreek on the other side because Jalen Waddle is now priced way up, and he's been insanely efficient from a touchdown standpoint. It's like Waddle's been getting all the touchdowns, but Tyreek's been getting all the yards. So when Tyreek eventually gets a couple of the touchdowns, Waddle's going to have a dud game. So I think Tyreek has room to improve off of the 35, 40 DK points that he's been seeing. Like, he legit has 50 DK point upside. So I think if you're playing Fields, Tyreek is the run back, and you absolutely can just pair one guy with Fields because you're playing Fields for rushing upside as well. So Darnell Mooney at 4,700 doesn't kill your roster, and he absolutely has 100-yard and touchdown upside as well. So I really, really, really think I'm going to end up on a Fields-Mooney Tyreek Hill stack this week.
Absolutely love that. No arguments here for me. I do want to hit on Justin Herbert, who's $7,200. Like, they have the Chargers this week have the third highest implied point total for this slate. And it's been bet up, opened up at a 47.5. So it's already up to 49.5 for this game. Now, it is a little tricky because it doesn't sound like Keenan Allen's going to play. We know Mike Williams is going to play. And so he's not going to have his full complement of weapons.
There was also, so I want to chime in on the availability too. There was also a tweet that Matthew Berry retweeted today from one of the LA beat writers that they're not so sure that Josh Palmer is going to be cleared for Sunday either. And I know he's been practicing in full, but the beat writer was kind of skeptical. She was like, I wouldn't be 100% sure that Palmer is going to be suited up to play on Sunday. So they could very well be without their top three wide receivers.
It would seem difficult to me because he's practiced in full since Wednesday. So Wednesday and Thursday.
He plays, but it was just weird to me that, you know, Matthew Berry did this segment on how Josh Palmer's a lock and you have to play him in season long this week. And then that beat reporter responded to him. I can pull up the tweet really quick. I'll quote it word for word.
Well, either way, obviously you can still play Austin Eckler, who is just destroying right now.
Yep.
As you know, the last two games has 10 receptions and 12 receptions respectfully. He's on pace to break the single season record for receptions in a year. He's averaging 7.6 receptions on the season, 8.7 targets, which is obviously first among all running backs. He has 357 receiving yards, is also first on the year. And so he's just been insane. He's finally seeing the touchdowns. That was kind of what was hurting him early in the season. But he scored two or more touchdowns in three of his last four games played as well. And this could just be another game that Austin Eckler sees a ton of targets. Now, if you want to get, you know, exposure to Justin Herbert through Austin Eckler, it's something you definitely could look at doing.
Yep.
But
no, yeah, I totally agree. And I think you can even play Eckler. And Eckler's the reason I don't want to play Josh Allen. Eckler and Tyreek Hill, those, and even Justin Jefferson. But those guys are the reason I don't want to play Josh Allen, because I want to play these position players that cost the same price as Allen. And I think you can get really good upside at the QB position for cheap. But You can also play one of these super cheap tight ends or even DeAndre Carter with Eckler and get your Herbert exposure that way. And that way you know, Herbert can still have a good game and not be, you know, optimal. Not be optimal at $7,200. So here's the tweet. So it's Lindsay Theory. So she's an ESPN reporter for the LA teams. And so she responded, "No guarantee Josh Palmer will play. He's cleared concussion protocol. But when Brandon Staley was asked if he will absolutely be available, he said, I'm not willing to say that." So I don't know if that's just coach speak saying, you know, maybe not wanting the opposing team to be able to just scheme for Palmer. But I mean, Palmer's not even really been a guy that's not a game changing player anyways. So I don't know why he would be coy about that. So I think I just thought that was interesting and something to definitely pay attention to.
Yeah, it feels like more coach speak because I mean they're not in a position to really play around here and keep losing football games unless they want to miss the playoffs again. I think they're 4-2, 4-3.
I don't know if they have the bodies to not play him if he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this: I am shocked that they weren't a team that was active for a wide receiver at the trade deadline, considering you know all the money they spent on their defense and that having Justin Herbert at quarterback. With Mike Williams, you knew going into the bye that Mike Williams was going to be out for a long period of time, and they had to have known that Keenan Allen had some sort of setback. Like, I am shocked that they didn't try to add somebody. Like, it didn't have to be a superstar.
Yeah.
It could have been, you know, and just another piece to go along here to help them and to help Justin Herbert, but they didn't. So,
I think we could see a ton of two tight end sets for them this week.
Yeah, I mean, Gerald Everett, I think, is also another option.
Parham's back.
Yeah, and the Falcons have been really bad against, like I said, opposing quarterbacks. They allow the fourth most DK points to the position. They've allowed the most passing yards on the season, and it's not really close. They've allowed 2,500 passing yards already, and the next closest is the Steelers, which is at 2,300. So, I mean, they have been really bad through the air against opposing quarterbacks. So, I think, you know, that Justin Herbert is in play. Nobody's going to play him whatsoever, especially because, like we talked about, that you know, with him missing a lot of these pieces. So I think that is a spot you could go to as well, Justin Herbert at $7,200. But I agree, there's a lot of these other running backs we want to play. So I think that's where I'm coming in at for me this week. It's going to be paying down at a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields type, kind of like we talked about. I think I'll probably have a little bit of Aaron Rodgers because I'm not going to just completely avoid this, especially going against Detroit. And then up from there, if I'm going to pay up, I like Justin Herbert as a sneaky stack as well. And then obviously Josh Allen's a play. We don't need to go into that, why he's a great play.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Let's go ahead and jump over to the running back position and kind of keep this thing moving here. Up top, we have Austin Eckler. Surprise, surprise. He's $8,800. The next closest to him is $7,800 Dalvin Cook. Then you have Jonathan Taylor, who is very questionable at $7,700. Aaron Jones, $7,400. Josh Jacobs. Leonard Fournette at $6,600, and then Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Travis Etienne at $6,300, Ramondre Swift at $6,200, Kenneth Walker, Raheem Mostert, and then David Montgomery and Deonta Foreman wrap up the 6K group. Like we already talked about, Aaron Jones is going to carry heavy ownership this week against Detroit, and then Travis Etienne is also going to be very heavily owned at $6,300 just because he's too cheap for the production he's been giving over the last couple of weeks. The only thing with him is that I wish he would get more opportunity in the passing game. He's seeing a little bit of targets, but I mean, really over the last four games, he's seen 15 targets, which is okay. But like, I would like to see a little bit more for him, especially for somebody that caught so many balls in college. But that's about the only part of his game that he's not really seeing as much as that I would like to see. But still, it's really hard to ignore this matchup and at his price.
Yeah. I agree. Like I said, I'm just playing Travis Etienne, and part of it is because there's nobody really below him that I want to play. I mean, he's at 6,300, and there's not a ton of guys that are in solid matchups. I guess you could say Mostert's fine at 6,100, but I mean, I feel like his ceiling is 20, whereas Etienne's got like a 35-point ceiling because we know Etienne has monster big play potential. We've seen it already. I don't want to play a James Conner or, you know, Benjamin led backfield. I mean, those guys are going to split carries if Conner plays. And even if Conner plays, we don't even know how healthy he is. There's just no real good value this week at running back. So I think, honestly, I'm not going to get cute. I think Eckler had 16 targets 2 weeks ago and 12 targets last week. So it's just really hard to not play him on an offense that has no wide receivers and facing a defense that can't stop anybody. I mean, Deontay Foreman broke the slate last week. So it's like, why can't Eckler do the exact same thing? And I'm expecting him to as well. So I really like Eckler. Aaron Jones, you can absolutely play him as well. I know he's going to be very, very popular, but he has turned into the engine of that Packers offense. He's definitely in play. 7,400 is a little pricey. I will say though, if you are playing the Trevor Lawrence team that we talked about, Josh Jacobs is an incredible pivot as a run back option off of Aaron Jones at pretty much the same exact price. We've seen Josh Jacobs smash multiple weeks heading into last week, and they just put up a complete dud against New Orleans. But I don't think they do that. I don't think they put up a complete dud against Jacksonville. So in a game, if you're stacking that game up, it makes way more sense to play Jacobs in a game stack with that, as opposed to running a chalky Aaron Jones. So I really like Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones. And I think my builds are going to start with Etienne and Eckler.
I mean, I got nothing to come back with that. I mean, yeah, 100%. I think they're definitely in play, you know, and what we've seen, you know, we talk about chalk a lot, right? Like they try to, you know, avoid chalk and stuff like that at certain situations, but man, playing the chalk this year has absolutely been the thing to do so far this year.
Yeah, I think the field as a whole is just getting sharper with all the content there is nowadays. It's like there's nobody that comes in under 5% that you look at and you say, you know, that guy could absolutely smash and I feel good about it. It's like if anybody's really, really worth playing, they're going to be at least in the 5 to 10% range. I mean, like AJ Brown last week broke the slate. He was 8%. Like those are the kinds of guys you want to get at quote unquote lower ownership. And I mean, 8% is not real low. I mean, it's low for AJ Brown. And Kamara was 12%. So like, if you were just going to fade Kamara because he was like projected as the 6th highest on running back or whatever, or go underweight the field, I mean, you lost your ass because he broke the slate. So at the end of the day, you got to have the guys that score the points. And I mean, the field's just getting very good at projecting who those guys are going to be. So like you said, I mean, it's not always about, or at least this year, it's not as much about just fading guys because they're popular. I mean, if they're going to smash, they're going to smash. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been pretty much either you played the chalk if you didn't, just take it on the next week and learn your lesson from there, because every single week it just continues to hit. I think as far as some different running backs that, you know, you could probably take a look at here. That's interesting. Like if you want to play pay down, like I think there is a couple guys that like Deion Jackson, it sounds like Jonathan Taylor may not play this week. He hasn't practiced yet so far the first two games, and Deion Jackson's only $5,200. They just traded away Nyheim Hines. And he's definitely their pass-catching threat, because when Nyheim Hines was out before when they played Jacksonville, he saw 10 targets in that game, 10 receptions, 79 yards, also had 12 carries, 42 yards. Wasn't great on the ground, but, I mean, he could see a lot of targets in this game, and he's only $5,200. They are playing New England, but, I mean, New England's defense, their run defense is good. It's not as good as I think people think that it is. Their main thing is they've done a very good job of keeping teams out of the end zone or opposing running backs out of the end zone. But so I do think that if you want to get a little bit different, I think Deion Jackson at $5,200, I think would be a spot you could look at, because it doesn't sound like Jonathan Taylor is going to play this week, at least so far. I mean, he has two straight games of not practicing. And then Tyler Algier also as well. He's $5,400. The Chargers have been really bad against opposing running backs this year. On the season, they ranked 23rd in rush DVOA. They've allowed the second most fantasy or the second most DK points to running backs. They've also allowed the 6th most rushing yards and the 5th most touchdowns. So even if, because Cordarrelle Patterson is looking like he could possibly return in this game this week, he was designated to return. So it's possible they could activate him. But even if they do, I still would expect, because we've seen Tyler Algier, even when Cordarrelle Patterson was there, still get 10 plus carries. And so I think it's still possible to think that he could see, you know, 15, 16 carries in this game. And we kind of talked about it, but the way this spread has kind of come down, the Chargers opened up at 7.5 point favorites. It's dropped all the way down to 3 as of recording this right now. So there's a lot of money coming in on the Falcons right now. We know the Falcons are going to run the ball. They don't give a shit. about what we think about, you know, Drake London or Kyle Pitts or utilizing those guys. They're just going to keep smashing the rock all game, and they don't really care. And so Tyler Algier, I think, is also a spot you could look at $5,400, even if Cordarrelle Patterson returns. Because I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson would return and, you know, he's going to get 20 touches or anything like that. It's just not going to happen. And so I think Tyler Algier is also another spot you could go to. He's $5,400 if you're wanting to pay down at running back this week. I think those two guys are kind of the two guys that I think you can take a look at.
Yeah, if Zach Moss is inactive, I'll definitely have heavy interest in Jackson, because we've seen Jackson has a legit ceiling with his pass catching upside. So, but if Zach Moss is playing, then I'd be concerned that he's going to get involved enough to, you know, not make Jackson optimal.
Yeah. And I think from there, I don't know. Like, I was on it last week. Obviously, I think a lot of people were with Raheem Mostert, wanted to play him against the Lions, and he did not come through. He's actually more expensive than he was last week. He was $5,900. And now this week he's $6,100. But Chicago has been really bad against running backs as well this year. He's still – and so Chicago is 28th in rush DVOA. They will have the second most rushing yards, the fourth most rushing touchdowns, and the fourth most DK points to running backs. Not to mention the fact that they just lost Roquan Smith, their linebacker there as well, via trade. So that is going to be even more of a depleted run defense as well. The problem is that Raheem Mostert has been – he's been okay. Like, I mean, he's had some good weeks, but at $6,100, I just feel like, why do that if you could pay $6,300? It feels like Raheem Mostert last week when Tony Pollard was on the slate, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, Tony Pollard, I think, was $6,100. And then Raheem Mostert was $5,900, and it just made more sense just to pay the extra couple hundred bucks to get up to Pollard. And I kind of feel the same way with Mostert this week. Great matchup, elite matchup for him, but I just don't know if you're going to be able to trust him to get there.
Yeah, I just – like, what's Mostert's ceiling? Because, I mean, he's not really going to ever run for 100-plus yards, right, just because of how much the Dolphins like to throw the ball.
Well, I think it's going to be a matter on game script. Like, I will say last week the Dolphins got down really early in that game. It was 21-7, like right before you knew it, and so they really couldn't run the ball as much as they probably wanted to. He only had 14 carries, but you know, he has one game this year where he has over 100 rushing yards, and that was against the Jets in Week 5.
Yeah, and they got obliterated in that game, which is weird.
Yeah, but I mean, he does have two games this year where he scored 20-plus DK points, 22 again in that Week 5 game, and then Week 7 he scored 20.9 against Pittsburgh. Now, he also saw some pass-catching work that's the most he's really seen all year. He saw 5 targets. Other than that, he's more of a 2 or 3 target type guy. Like I said, great matchup, but I just don't know if it really makes a lot of sense to actually play him or not.
I agree. I just think his ceiling doesn't match up with the other guys, especially ETN, that are priced around him, so... I mean, I'd rather play. I think Walker has a bigger ceiling. Walker, we know, can go for 100 yards and multiple scores. I mean, Arizona's been an like a middle of the road matchup for running backs. I'd play Walker before I played Mostert, I think. So, yeah, I agree. I'm out on Mostert. I'm just going to play Tyreek from that game on the Dolphins side.
And then I guess to talk about it, because Ramondre Stevenson is also still in that price range, $6,200. I don't know why they don't price him up any higher. Like, he's been the same for the last 4 weeks in a row. He was 6K against Cleveland, 6,300 against Chicago, and 6,400 last week. And somehow his price dropped this week to 6,200. I know Damien Harris is back, but Damien Harris has been back now for the last couple of games. And I don't know. Like, he's seeing so many targets. He's seen over the last 3 games, 5, 8, and 7 targets over the last he's seen carries 19, 11, and 16. And the goal line opportunities are there for him as well. And he's only $6,200. Like, I don't know why DraftKings doesn't price him up more. And this is a matchup against Indy. Like, Indy, like, you're not worried about Indy, you know, getting up and, like, really, you know, really pushing pace on this team. Indy's going to want to do the same thing. They're going to want to run the ball and be conservative because they have Sam Ellinger at quarterback. And so Ramondre Stevenson is hard to get away from, too, at $6,200, especially with his pass-catching usage. He's seeing all the dump-off work, you know, from this backfield. So yeah. He's seeing like a James White type role in terms of the pass catching usage, but he's also seeing the carries that James White never saw.
Yeah, I agree. You can absolutely play Ramondre.
And then I guess, so what are your thoughts on, I guess I want to say just Joe Mixon, just because of how cheap he is. He's only $6,500. I mean, this is typically a running back that we see in the, you know, the mid 7K range. Do you have any interest in him at all or no?
No, he's been, I know his volume's been insane. He's just been so inefficient. Like all his efficiency metrics are like near the bottom of the league and everything. And it's like, it'd be one thing if, you know, the efficiency metrics were saying, okay, he's still a decent running back. And this volume can lead to something, but the fact that, you know, he catches a pass and goes 3 yards and then just gets tackled by one guy in the open field. It's like, he's not ever going to break a slate. I don't think. I mean, he's going to have to fall into 3 touchdowns for it to be a had to have it score at 6,500. So, yeah, I'm out on Mixon. I think, you know, we know ETN can house 260 yard carries in one game and can catch passes, and Kenneth Walker can go for 100 yards and multiple scores, and Ramondre Stevenson can, you know, catch 7 passes and score twice. And there's just so many more guys around that price range that, I mean, Mixon's going to be fine to get you, you know, 15 to 18, but I mean, we're really looking for 30-ish, 25 to 30. And I just think the other guys are more likely to get you there.
Yeah, I mean, just to echo what you said, I mean, so far in the year, Joe Mixon is 50th in yards created per touch. And he's also 56th in breakaway run rate, which is carries of 15-plus yards. He only has one on the year. Yeah. His true yards per carry is 3.3.
His efficiency fell off a cliff from last year to this year.
He's been terrible as a runner. Now, I will say he's second in routes run on the year, and he's second in route participation and seventh in target.
Volume's not the issue. It's just he's just washed is what it looks like.
Well, their offensive line, like you mentioned, has not been with all the money they spent in this offensive line this offseason to repair it and turn around. It has not been great so far. But they're middle of the road in adjusted line yards. They're 17th in adjusted line yards, but they're 25th in power rank, 31st in second level rank, and 32nd. An open field rank. So yeah. I think that's kind of the running backs that I really wanted to hit on. Obviously, I think that the main ones are going to be Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, Travis Etienne. And I know you like Josh Jacobs. And then for me, it's going to be Ramondre Stevenson. And then I like Deion Jackson if he's out this week, if Jonathan Taylor misses this week because of his pass catching usage and Nyheim Hines being gone.
Yep.
All right, so let's go ahead and hit on some of the wide receivers. We have Cooper Kupp, who's $8,900, and then Justin Jefferson at $8,600, Tyreek at $8,500, Stephon Diggs at $8,400, Devontae Adams at $8,100, DeAndre Hopkins at $7,900, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Mike Evans wrap up the 7K, and then the 6K range, you have Gabe Davis, Michael Pittman, Amon Ross St. Brown, Keenan Allen, who seems to be very, very questionable, has not practiced yet this week, DK Metcalf, Tyler Boyd, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, Alan Lazard, who is also questionable at this time of recording this. So, wide receiver, what are we doing this week?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I think Tyreek Hill is the best wide receiver play on the slate. And this, I'm just gonna keep using this, kind of approach, and it's been working. We called the Eckler blow up game, and now we called the Kamara blow up game. And what if I told you I don't think that Tyreek Hill has hit his ceiling yet this year? He has 2 touchdowns on the year. They both came in the same game, which was the Baltimore game. And so that was probably his ceiling game. So 11 catches, 190 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He scored 45 DK points. So that's absolutely his ceiling game. So now we look at these other games. 34 DK points, 0 touchdowns. 32 DK points, 0 touchdowns. 29 DK points, 0 touchdowns. 18 DK points, 0 touchdowns. If we throw in, you know, 1 or 2 touchdowns into those games, I mean, you're looking at a 40 to 46, 38 to 44, a 34 to 40, and a 24 to 30 score. So if the touchdowns start going Tyreek Hill's way, his $8,500 price tag looks minuscule compared to the production you're getting. So in Chicago, we just saw Dallas just absolutely obliterate them last week, partially because they just traded away all their good defenders. They lost Quinn before the Dallas game, and then now they just traded away Roquan Smith. So their two main defensive guys are now out, and Chicago is going to, I think, become a team that's just going to end up giving up a lot of points for the rest of the year. So I really like Tyreek Hill in this spot, and we know that it's Tyreek and Waddle on the offense, and sometimes Gesicki and really nobody else, and sometimes Mostert. But yeah, so 8,500 for the best wide receiver in the league right now. Absolutely love that for a guy that hasn't been scoring touchdowns, but absolutely can score touchdowns. So outside of him, Justin Jefferson's 8,600 against a very abysmal Washington defense. And this is Kirk Cousins returning to Washington to play his old former team. It's just, I just don't see how Washington guards Justin Jefferson and thinks he, I think he can go for easily 150 and a couple scores in this game. So I think he would be the other guy that I would pay way up for. And it's weird to not pay $300 more for Cooper Kupp, but with Cooper Kupp's ankle injury, I just think that, you know, maybe he loses a little bit of his route running effectiveness, and maybe he doesn't play all the snaps. So we'll have to see what Cooper Kupp looks like, but I just think also as well, playing on the road in Tampa, that's not for an offense in LA that hasn't scored a ton of points this year. They've just looked bad. I actually like Tampa Bay's defense in this game. So I'm going to play Jefferson and Tyreek over Kupp this week. Sliding down the list, I really like the guys that are in like the 6K to 5K range. I mean, Amon-Ra is 6.6. That feels too cheap for a guy that can easily go for 25 to 30 DK points. Chris Godwin is 6.2K in an, like, playing for Tampa Bay against the Rams. That, you know, Tampa Bay's looked abysmal this year and they need to get right. And, you know, Brady knows that they need to get right. And it's just going to be a team effort. And I think, you know, Brady's going to look for his main guys over and over again. And I think it's going to be Godwin who's likely to see double digit targets here. He's got 11, 13, and 12 over his last three. So he's finally healthy. Another guy that has not scored a touchdown this year is Chris Godwin. He's got zero on the year, but you know, the volume is there. The opportunity's there. We know Chris Godwin can go for 100 yards. So 100 yards, two scores is not out of the question for him. At 6,200. Absolutely love that. I already mentioned the Jags receivers. Christian Kirk is 5,500 for a guy who's going to see, you know, probably 7 to 10 targets against a bad Las Vegas defense. I already mentioned the other two guys that are the secondary pieces that you could pair with Lawrence if you want. That's Marvin Jones and Zay Jones. They're 4,200 and 4,100 respectively. So very cheap for all of the Jags receivers, given their roles. Sliding down the list even further, I mentioned Darnell Mooney already. A guy that's seeing, you know, probably not going to see double-digit targets here. He does have a game where he saw 12, but I mean, if the Chicago defense isn't going to show up like last week, then, I mean, he kind of has to be involved. But, I mean, in a game that they trailed and lost by 20 points last week, he only saw 5 targets. But at 4,700, for a guy that could see, you know, 8 targets here, he definitely has the ability and has the downfield role to go over 100 yards on his limited target volume, and he can score a touchdown. So Mooney absolutely can hit 100 yards and a touchdown in this matchup. Against a man-heavy Dolphins team. And like I already said, you know, the Ravens crushed Miami earlier in the year, and the Bears are starting to run a very similar offense to what the Ravens are trying to run. So I think Mooney is – I think his risk is baked into his price at 4,700. And, you know, if he was 55 to 6K, I would say, no, I'm out. But on a slate where we don't really have a ton of value that can, you know, break the slate, I think Mooney is one of the guys that can get us there. So I really like him. And then the Chargers guys, if we get news that Josh Palmer's in, he is only 5,100 against the worst pass defense in the NFL against opposing wide receivers. So Josh Palmer would become would be somebody I'd heavily consider to play on any team that I have. And simply, you know, every opposing passing attack is crushing the Falcons right now. So, if Palmer plays, definitely have interest in him. If not, you kind of have to have interest in DeAndre Carter and, you know, even the min price guys that are going to be thrust into roles. But, I think if Palmer's out, I probably just end up playing one of Everett or Parham, honestly. So, we'll talk about tight ends here in a second, but that's mainly, I'm sure you've got some other cheaper wide receivers that I've not touched on yet, but those are the main guys that, you know, really stick out to me this week.
So up top, like I agree with, like I said, Tyreek's always in play though. I mean, with his ability, I will say, like, matchup wise, it isn't the best. I mean, the Bears have actually done a really good job They actually allow the third fewest DK points on the season. They've only allowed four receiving touchdowns on the year. But it's Tyreek. Tyreek can beat any defense. It doesn't really matter. But I do think Davante Adams, I think, is an interesting option this week. He's the cheaper of the group. He's only 8,100. Save a little bit of salary, a slight bit of salary anyways. But if you look at him, he's seventh in target share on the year. He's averaging almost 10 targets per game in this offense. Now, last week, obviously, was about as bad as you could get for him. I wonder if, you know, we haven't heard a lot of this, but, like, I wonder if he has, like, has it been weird to you that we, like, nobody's had COVID this year? Like, nobody? I'm starting to wonder if maybe he had COVID. And I'm not, like, some sort of conspiracy theorist. I don't really care, but I don't think they're really reporting it anymore, and these guys aren't missing time with it. I wonder if that's what he had. But regardless of that, it doesn't really matter. I know he was sick. But he is one of the guys that has 30-point upside here. It's a good matchup against the Jaguars, something that he can certainly beat here. $8,100. I do like getting to him if you're wanting to pay up at wide receiver. T. Higgins is always going to make sense with Jamar Chase out. The Panthers do have a set of good corners there, but T. Higgins would be in play at $7,300. But you know, going down a little bit here, I do agree with your the other call, Chris Godwin talk, but I think Alan Lazard at 6K, he got in a limited participation today. You know, we talked about it. This Detroit matchup is fantastic. Detroit is just as bad against the opposing wide receivers that they are on the run. They have the fourth most DK points to opposing wide receivers on the season. So I think whether it's Alan Lazard, Romeo Doubs, I think one of these guys is going to have a really good game. So I do like getting to this. Even if you don't want to stack it up, I think just getting you know, a smaller piece or maybe even running a mini stack with this game where you go with like a Lazard or a Romeo Doubs or a Tanyan. And then if you want to run it back with an Amon-Ra St. Brown, we didn't even talk about that T.J. Hockenson was traded. So that is going to open up even more opportunities for Amon-Ra St. Brown now that you have, you know, T.J. Hockenson in Minnesota. And so that's just going to kind of free up, especially out of the slot for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who hasn't really been the guy he was earlier in the year. But I think this could free some things up, even though he did see 10 targets last week. I think you could expect easily more than that here in this game. From the slots, I think he's would probably avoid like Jair Alexander and stuff like that because, you know, he runs mainly in the slot. So Amon-Ra St. Brown at $6,600. This was a guy earlier in the year. You know, we were paying a little bit more money for him. He got up to what, $7,600, and now he's back down to $6,600. Another guy, Terry McLaurin, is a guy that I really like this week going against Minnesota. Minnesota allows the fifth most DK points to opposing wide receivers. And we've seen now Taylor Heinicke starting a wide quarterback here. Terry McLaurin has seen 16 targets over the last two games, and he started to come alive a little bit, 18.3, 19.6 each of the last two games. And he's only $5,900. That is too cheap for the upside that he provides. And so I think Terry McLaurin is actually a really good play here. Again, if you want to run like a little mini stack here with McLaurin and Justin Jefferson, I think that is certainly in play if you're not wanting to stack up Kirk Cousins like that. But $5,900, Terry McLaurin, incredibly too cheap for him. I just think that he can easily he can beat that price. And then from there, if you're wanting to pay down at wide receiver, maybe Allen Robinson could be an interesting play, especially if Cooper Kupp is going to be, you know, not 100% with his ankle injury. He's still only 5K. We're starting to see a little bit more action here for Allen Robinson. Didn't find the end zone, but he has seen, you know, 6 and 7 targets respectively each of the last two games. So Allen Robinson at 5K, he is in play this week. I completely agree with you on the Darnell Mooney call. DeAndre Carter down here at $4,300, especially with all the players they're going to be missing if both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are out. Even if Joshua Palmer plays, DeAndre Carter is going to see more targets here in this offense. And then if you're Khalif Raymond, that's the other guy that I want to mention here. He has, you know, quietly started to put up some numbers as well. He's 14.5 and 10.6. He's only 4K. Four targets last week, 6 and 7 each of the 2 weeks prior to that. So he's starting to see targets, and he's only 4K. Again, we mentioned T.J. Hockenson is out. I don't think D.J. Chark is going to play. Jameson Williams is anywhere close to returning. So Khalif Raymond at 4K. And then the other one would be Terrace Marshall, who's $3,900. I actually played Terrace Marshall last week because I'm sick, but he was only $3,500 last week. I knew it was a good matchup. He's the number two wide receiver now, really the number two target in this offense with DJ Moore. When you have Christian McCaffrey, who's traded. So there's just not a whole lot else for them to throw the ball to. And he's still only $3,900 this week in this matchup against Cincinnati. And I'm not really all that concerned with being able to throw against Cincinnati. Like, they're okay, like, their defense, but there's nothing like, oh man, I don't want to play, you know, wide receivers against that defense. So Terrace Marshall is another guy at $3,900, saw 9 targets last week, saw multiple red zone, end zone targets as well. So kind of the big body wide receiver that could see a lot of targets inside the red zone. So I do like Terrace Marshall as well at $3,900 if you're wanting to get different at wide receiver.
I will say I like the Raymond call because Josh Reynolds hasn't been practicing it either. I think you mentioned that. But so they could be very shorthanded at wide receiver. I mean, it's going to be Amon-Ra and Reynolds. Or, I mean, Raymond. So, yeah, I like that. He's only 4K.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and I think past that, like, really paying down at this level, there's not a whole lot.
Do you know anything about the Chargers receivers that would play if Palmer was out? Like Bandy and who's this other guy? Jones or something?
I mean, I don't.
Jason Moore.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at DeAndre Carter, and I think you'd be looking at, you know, I think Palmer plays, but if he doesn't, I mean, you're looking at DeAndre Carter. And then I know Bandy's a guy they tried to work in a little bit here. I guess Jason Moore, I guess last week 7, saw 2 targets in that game for 5.
Yeah, I think I would just play Parham at 2,600 before I played one of those 3K wide receivers.
Yeah, because I mean, nobody else here actually is he even still. I don't even know if Joe Reed still remember him last year. He kind of popped off.
I do remember him. I don't know if he's on the roster or not.
I don't even know if he's still on the roster or not. Or
I think Palmer plays personally.
Yeah, I think he does too. I think
it's going to be Palmer and Carter with some 12 personnel.
Yeah. So, anyways, other than that, at wide receiver, I think I pretty much, or between the two of us, hit on everybody that I really wanted to focus on. Anyways, I think those are the spots that I want to get to. Is there anything else you want to hit on?
No, I'm good. I think we move to tight end.
All right, let's go ahead and move it over to tight end. Keep this thing moving here. Up top, you have Zach Ertz at $5,100. T.J. Hockenson now on the Vikings at 5K. You have Darren Waller, who is 4,900, who got in a limited practice. Maybe he returns this week. Then you have Gerald Everett at $4,800, who could be in for a massive target share. $4,500, Kyle Pitts, Gesicki's 4K, and then you have the lower-level guys. The first guy that I really want to just mention really quickly is Evan Engram, who is incredibly too cheap at $3,300. I'm not the biggest Evan Engram guy heading into the season, and season along, he was not a guy that I was excited about. Of course, I was excited about Dan the man, Dan Ariards, Arnold, but it hasn't come to fruition. Evan Engram, though, 6 targets last week, 7 targets the week before that, 6 targets and 10 targets over his last 5 games. He's seen a ridiculous amount of targets in this offense. He's only $3,300. Really good matchup against this Raider team that we've already talked about. So if you're wanting to stack Trevor Lawrence, he's another guy that you can definitely put in there. And he's seeing a lot of targets right now. So I definitely have some interest in him as well.
Yeah, Evan Engram's probably going to be – I mean, he's the first tight end that I went to plug in. And if you're playing Lawrence, you absolutely play Engram with him. And then outside of Engram, it's the two Chargers guys for me, Everett up top and Parham down low. Very straightforward tight end position for me this week. Those are the only 3 guys that I have interest in.
No interest in tight end bowl with Seattle and Arizona, the two teams that are just dreadful against tight ends.
No, I think I'm just going to save the salary at the tight end position. Tight end's been just so bad this year. And I mean, Ertz is going to get you, 10 to 13 points, but I mean, even the games that he's caught touchdowns, he's only hitting, 13 DK points. So it's like he's paying $5,100 for a guy who's not going to burn me for not playing him. I'm good. I'll save the money. I think Everett's a guy that could outpace Ertz if he scores a touchdown. I mean, we've seen him get up to 17 and he's got a game of 13 without a touchdown. So Everett could flirt with 20 DK points. So I'd rather just play Everett. And then Parham, $2,600. He's very, very cheap. And, he scored 8 DK points the other last game that he played. That was without a touchdown as well. So he, at $2,600 could get you 15 if he scores. So yeah. And Engram, we know Engram has 10 target upside. We saw that a couple games ago, but he's more likely to see, the 6 to 7 target range. And, he finally caught a touchdown last week and scored 15. So, getting 15 from a cheap tight end this week seems very, very optimal. I just don't see anybody that's going to score 25 plus like a typical Andrews or Kelsey line we would see, or even Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few other plays here that we could take a look at.
I will say if Fant doesn't play, Disley does become interesting from the tight end bowl. But it sounds like Fant's practicing, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten limited participation so far this week. Like I mentioned, actually, I was looking at it. Over the last 4 games, Evan Engram has the most targets among all tight ends. So that's wild. Obviously, Travis Kelce would be on top of this list because he's only played in 3. He had his bye. Evan Engram hasn't. But also, I think Robert Tonyan, we've kind of hit on him. I think he is certainly direction you could look at $3,800. Detroit struggles against opposing tight ends. Hayden Hurst is another, I think, option here in terms of just looking for somebody who's getting volume, especially with Jamar Chase out, because he is actually 7th over the last 4 games in total targets. He's seen 21 targets over the last 4 games. He's running a lot of routes. So I think Hayden Hurst at $3,600, I think, is also another tight end that I think we could take a look at. And then, like I mentioned, Evan Engram. Would be the guys that I'd be looking at outside of the obvious, like Gerald Everett this week. I'm not like, and I don't know, I think people are going to want to jam in Zach Ertz, but I think he's all right. He's an okay option at $5,100. But, since we've seen DeAndre Hopkins come back, his targets have fallen. Now, he's still seen 5 and 4, which is okay. But the only reason he really got there last week is because he found the end zone, which is obviously always in play. But he's just not seeing the same type of targets, because before that, before DeAndre Hopkins, it was, in terms of targets, it was 11, 10, 6, 10, and 10. Now DeAndre Hopkins comes back. That has fallen dramatically down to 4 and 5 over the last 2 games. So I know he's only $5,100, but I just would rather pay down for some of these other pass catchers here, some of their options that are much cheaper than they are. So that's all I got at tight end, unless there's another off-the-wall tight end that you want to talk about.
Did you mention the Detroit guy? Walito brought him up in chat, and I didn't know if you mentioned him with Hockenson being traded, the Brock Wright guy. I mean, I'm out on that. I mean, you can pay, $100 more for Parham, and you can pay $800 more for Engram, and, pay $1,000 more for Hurst. So it's like, I'll just play one of those guys instead and find that, that little bit of salary elsewhere.
Let me see something here. I just got to look at one. That's hilarious. So I wanted to look up who these guys were. who their tight ends were, because obviously I'm not up on who the little Lions' second and third string tight ends are. And so I went and looked up. The first guy that came up to me was James Mitchell. He's $2,500 as well. And then I was looking at Player Profiler, and his best comparable is actually Brock Wright.
Spider-Man gif.
Yeah. So, but it's funny because Brock Wright's best comparable is Hayden Hurst. I don't know. I mean, listen, I remember Hayden Hurst being frustrating as hell as well. Okay. And so I know Hayden Hurst probably is a little bit more expensive, or not Hayden Hurst, but TJ Hockenson. But if I can't play TJ Hockenson and feel comfortable with it, I'm not fucking playing Brock Wright. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, they still have to score you points, right? Like, even though he's 2,500, like, you still probably want 15 from him. I don't see a path that he gets there.
Though I guess I will say week 7 against Dallas, he did have 4 targets, 4 catches for 57 yards. Yeah, whatever. If you want to do it, fine. I'm not going to talk you out of it. It's tight end. But yeah. I'm not going to be, like, going out of my way to get lock Brock right into my lineups.
No. Me either.
Let's go ahead and jump over to defense then. And who are you going with? Who are you looking at this week?
I don't mind the Seahawks at 2,500. They've actually been one of the best defenses in the NFL over the last couple of weeks. They're getting after the quarterback. They've got 14 sacks in the last 3 games. And we know Kyler Murray can definitely turn the ball over. And you know, the Arizona offense hasn't been great this year. I know they look a little bit better with Hopkins back, but those NFC West games tend to always play a little bit, you know, gross and physical. So I like the Seahawks at 2,500. I know they're on the road, and definitely being at home is way more ideal for them, but they're interesting. And then just for a little bit more at 3K, I like Tampa Bay. The Rams have been, you know, an offense to target our defense against all year, really. I mean, they've given up the most DK points. The Rams offense has 2 opposing defenses. So Tampa Bay is definitely a defense that can, you know, cause some issues. And I know we haven't really seen it over the last few weeks, but they definitely can still get after the quarterback. They have 25 sacks on the year. So definitely one of the better pass rushes down in the cheap range, and is not really a matchup. They're playing at home as well. I'd be a little more concerned if they were in LA, but playing in Tampa, making LA go west to east for early kickoff. It actually might not be early kickoff. It might still be a 4 o'clock game, but that's still early for LA, because they play, you know, they still have to travel and, you know, do all that extra stuff. And I like Tampa Bay. So those are probably the 2 defenses I'll end up with. I don't really see a need to pay up for anybody.
I don't mind the Colts at $2,700 against the Patriots. Mac Jones struggled a lot this year. Their defense is, I think, good enough to be able to put up a decent number. So $2,700 Colts. Seahawks, I get. They're $2,500. And you're right. You know, you look at this. Shout out Matthew Betts. I think he's with Fantasy Footballers. Anyways, he posted the other day, the Seahawks are, over the last 3 games, are 2nd in yards per play, 1st in total defensive DVOA, 5th in scoring defense, 2nd in EPA per play, and 7th in pass rate over, or pressure rate, excuse me, over the last last 3 games. But my problem with that is that they haven't played anybody. Like, you know,
right,
I mean,
but one of those three games is the team they're playing now again.
True, but the thing that I will mention in that is, 1, it was at home, and 2,
it was at home. Yep,
it was without DeAndre Hopkins, and so this Seahawks, this Cardinal offense has looked much better with DeAndre Hopkins back and out there. So I think it's just
my counter argument is, can you sell me on a different cheap defense other than Seattle? That would be, they're the defense that's cheap that I feel the best about.
What about the Commanders? Like, I know their secondary isn't great, but I think they could be getting Chase Young back this week. They have pass rushers. It doesn't take a lot, right? We're not talking about them coming out there and just crushing and having to put up a 20 burger. Like, I think it's possible that they could, you know, get sacked, create turnovers here. You know, I think if Chase Young does return this week, you know, to another added guy to the pass catching group here, or the options here at $2,400, you could do that. And maybe the Jets. No, I'm not. We're not doing that against Buffalo.
I am not playing the Jets against Buffalo. The Jets totally are a good defense, but I'm not playing them against Buffalo.
Yeah, that was totally thinking. But I mean, even Atlanta, $2,800. I mean, you know, if the Chargers do struggle, they're I mean, let's face it, their offense has been terrible prior to this game. Or prior to the bye.
If I was going dumpster diving, I would just play Carolina, probably. I mean, Cincinnati looked awful without Ja'Marr Chase last game. Awful.
Or even Detroit at $2,600. You know, Green Bay has struggled as well, right? I mean, I think there's some avenues here, for sure. But yeah, but I also think everybody's going to play Seattle too.
Yeah, if everybody plays Seattle, I will not play Seattle. I'll probably just pay a little more for Tampa, or if I have to have a 2,500 or less defense, I'll probably just maybe play Carolina. I think Tampa at home is sharp, and with if Cup's not fully healthy, I mean, I assume he plays. Sounds like he's gonna play, but like if he's limited at all, I mean, he is their offense. Like they've struggled all year, even with him being healthy. So it's like, I don't know. It just feels like Tampa's in a good spot here.
Let's build this lineup. Just under an hour, and we're building the lineup. It's a good time. Good time. So, go ahead and start it off.
No, you pick the QB. You pick between Lawrence and Fields. That's literally gonna determine the rest of the build.
Justin Fields.
Okay. Let's go Tyreek.
Let's save a little sour, but we're gonna go Darnell Mooney at 4,700.
All right. ETN.
We're just going to play the chalk. We're going to go Aaron Jones. Okay. Which is fine, because we're already different enough with Justin Fields.
Let's mini stack him with Khalif Raymond.
Okay, and then defense. I guess we'll plug in Seattle for you.
So we've got 56-50 for tight end and flex. Can we go Eckler? Oh, we can do Eckler and Min Price. Or we can go Eckler and Parham and drop the Seahawks down.
Do we go Brock Wright? Do we after shitting all over it?
We could. I mean, we're playing Aaron Jones with Raymond. We could also just go Justin Jefferson over Eckler, but I don't know. I kind of like Eckler over Jefferson.
So I can just drop him just so we have that flexibility and go Eckler, tight end. You go to a little Brock Wright call, who is apparently. Wait a second. He's in concussion protocol. God damn you, Walido.
Is he really?
Brock Wright. Yeah, but he was limited at Thursday's practice, but that's not a great sign.
No, if he's not practicing in full, he could miss.
I guess we'll have to see, because if he's full practice, if he's full go. But then again, we have his mini me that we could play.
Yeah, his comparable.
But if you did that, then that we could still, my point was, is that we could go Travis Etienne there in the flex, and then we'd have no money left, but we could fit it. We could go Fields, Aaron Jones, Eckler, Tyreek, Darnell Mooney, Khalif Raymond, Brock Wright, and Travis Etienne with Seahawks D.
Yeah, the other option is play Parham and drop Seahawks to either you can play the Commanders or the Panthers. I'd rather just go that route, be different with the defense. And play a somewhat decent tight end. And you still got two Chargers against Atlanta. You got a mini stack for Green Bay, Detroit, and your main stack is Miami, Chicago. It's a very correlated team. ETN's your only one off.
Yeah, I don't mind that, actually. Okay, we're going to lock that in. We're going to go Fields, Aaron Jones, Eckler, Tyreek, Darnell Mooney, Khalif Raymond, Darnell Parham, Travis Etienne, and the Commanders D. I just lucked that son of a bitch in.
I like that a lot. Honestly, that's going to be very similar to what my main team looks like. I'm sure I'll have some different pieces, but I think I really like the Fields, Mooney, Tyreek starting point.
Yeah, and I think if you wanted to change things up a little bit, if you're not comfortable playing Darnell Parham, I mean, you could probably drop from Aaron Jones a little bit. Maybe find one of the 6K wide receivers or 6K running backs, like a Ramondre Stevenson or something like that.
Yeah,
that could free you up some money to really get a little bit different and tight end and put somebody else in there. So
I just know the Chargers they love using multiple tight ends, and with all their wide receiver injuries, I just think the tight ends are going to see more run than they normally do in an offense that they usually see run in. So
yeah, all right, Walido, thoughts on this lineup? Fields, Walker, Etienne, Mooney, Tyreek, Jefferson, Brock Wright, McLaurin, Jets D, mini stack with JJ McLaurin, stack up Bears game with Fields, Mooney, Tyreek, $0 left. I like that a lot too.
I do as well. I'm just checking something. So McLaurin's 59. What's Curtis Samuel? 52. If you could do something different with the $700, I don't mind going Curtis Samuel over McLaurin too. But McLaurin he's Heineke's main guy. So if you're playing Justin Jefferson, I think it makes total sense to have McLaurin on the other side. Like, cause they're likely pushing each other. In a game, Jefferson has 150 and multiple scores. I mean, McLaurin's got to be doing something on the other side to keep that up. So, yeah, I like it. I mean, I obviously hate playing Jets D against Buffalo, but we always say, you know, if you've got a team you like and there's the last defense available is the only defense you can play, just play it.
And it's a divisional game. So, I mean, sometimes these games get a little...
Jets D is good. Like, yeah. They're not typical Jets D, so...
And I am kind of interested to see how like Sauce Gardner is going to do against Stephon Diggs.
I mean, Buffalo only scored 19 points against Miami, another divisional game. So it's in New York, right? It's not in Buffalo.
It's in New York.
Yeah. So I'm cool. I'm cool with it.
And they're going to be like less than 1%. So
yeah, they'll be, yeah. Ain't nobody playing them.
It feels kind of like a little bit like the Saints. I think last week where they scored 19 and nobody played them.
They were 0.7, I think, 0.7% or 0.3%. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the NFL, man. Houston covered tonight, so.
I know. Yep.
Anything can happen.
I know. All day today. We were talking about it before we got on. All day today, it was nothing but the Eagles are just going to absolutely annihilate. I think I saw somebody post that the Eagles defense should be viewed as like an RB1 this week. I'm like, shut up. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, and then look what happened. Like, I mean, the Texans didn't like smash or anything, but they still put up 17, scored a couple touchdowns. I mean, they had some
drives.
Yeah. And they had a couple. I mean,
Davis Mills threw an interception in the red zone there to end the game pretty much.
Yeah. So anything can happen. So that's why we shouldn't be worried about playing some of these defenses, because people put a little bit too much thought into it. Like, oh, I can't play him because they're playing this team. Like, no, anything can happen. Pick six and you're right there. Especially at $2,200, $2,300, you're right there.
I mean, Josh Allen, he can get crazy. He runs around with the ball loose. I mean, all it takes is him to get tackled and spun around and ball falls out of his hand. And now you got a fumble return for a touchdown. I mean, anything can happen. That's why we always say, you know, play the guys that you can predict. Easier, and that's the position player guys, and then just plug in the defense with whatever you think is best from there. So go with it.
Yeah. So anyways, Walido, appreciate you rock with us as always. Appreciate the super chat. I do appreciate that. But hope everybody has a good week 9. If you are not already, be sure to jump into our Discord. It is absolutely free. You can find it in if you listen to this on podcast, I always put it in the description there for the podcast, so for that episode, so you can jump in there. It's free, like I said, no strings attached. Click the link, boom, you're in. So that being said, I hope everybody has a good week 9. Let's win some money this weekend, because you know, we're getting closer and closer to our favorite time of the year, right? Thanksgiving slate followed by the Christmas Day slate that also has 3 games on it. So, see, look, Christmas is just dunking on Thanksgiving this year because now they have 3 games as well.
Yep.
So, anyways, let's get out of here. Everybody have a good, like I said, everybody have a good weekend. We'll catch you guys on the next one for week 10. Yeah. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man.
You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.